You're listening to the PCIM podcast, your podcast on power electronics.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the 13th episode of PCIM podcast, your power electronics podcast powered by PCIM. My name is Marco Jung. I'm a professor for e-mobility and electrical infrastructure at the Bonn-Rhein-Sieg University of Applied Science at St. Augustine, as well as head of department converters and electrical drives at the Fraunhofer Institute for Energy Economics and Energy System Technology at Kassel. Both are located in Germany. Additionally, I am the chairman of the IEEE joint IES-IAS PELS German chapter, IEEE PELS Region 8 Vice Chair Germany, and active member of several national and international communities and committees. And today, our technical theme is Capacitors for Power Electronics, Challenges and Improvements. And this I will discuss with Thomas Ebel from the University of Southern Denmark. Hello, Thomas. How are you?
Hi. I'm fine. How are you?
Fine as well. So now, the weather is not so really nice in Germany right now, but hopefully in Denmark it looks a little bit better.
Yeah, we have blue sky and I'm sitting here close to the Altsund, so close to the water, and we have blue sky and blue sea. So I'm happy to participate here in this podcast under these conditions.
Fine. Thomas, in the past you have had a variety of professional positions. Can you give us a short introduction of your career?
Yes, of course. After my PhD in solid-state chemistry at the University of Münster in 1995, I joined Siemens Matsushita Components in Germany, which later became EPCOS and is now TDK, as developing engineer for aluminium electrolytic capacitors. After some years, I got promoted as R&D director of that component at EPCOS. In 2001, I was delegated as R&D director, later as CTO, to the Siemens partner company Beckomal, which is now TDK Foil, located in Milano, Italy. This company produced aluminium anode and aluminium cathode foils for aluminium electrolytic capacitors. In 2008, I left the Siemens family and joined FTCAP in Germany, first as R&D director, later as managing director and shareholder. FTCAP is one of the few remaining aluminium electric capacitor manufacturers in Europe. In 2018, this company was taken over by Mersen, and I decided to leave and return back to academia. The mission was to build up a new public-private partnership-funded institution, the Center for Industrial Electronics, under the umbrella of the University of Southern Denmark in Sønderborg, close to Flensburg, where I still work right now. I'm actually appointed as full professor and head of center at SDU. In the center, we are right now 40 scientists working mainly with power electronics. In parallel, I have established my own research group working with capacitors and related materials.
Great. So let us come a little bit more in our technical direction. Capacitors are used today for various applications, such as energy storage or for filtering harmonics or for other things. In power electronics, there are a wide range of application scenarios. The absorption of large amounts of energy and the rapid discharge present significant challenges regarding losses and aging. There are new developments in high current electrolytic capacitors. Can you provide us with more insights?
Yes, of course. But before I come to this point, I want just to strive generally the capacitor technology used in power electronics. In power electronics, very often film and power capacitors are used. And this technology is mainly based on metallized biaxially orientated polypropylene films, which provide low ESR values, a high voltage strength, and a long lifetime. Independence of AC or DC operation, we can choose different metallizations, for example, aluminium or zinc or their alloys. As well, the related thickness of the films, which determined the voltage stability and the capacitance. The thickness and the dielectrical constant determine the capacitance. Usually, such capacitors are made of winding elements. One can use one big winding element or many winding elements in an array to produce, for example, a power capacitor. And when you put them in series, you can ramp up the voltage. Usually, they are connected in big cans and boxes, and such a device could become somewhat bulky and larger capacitance voltage combinations. If the voltage requirement is not so high, for example 450 volts, aluminium electrode capacitors are often used because this technology provides very high capacitance at a reasonable price. And you were asking if we develop new high current voltage, high current electrode capacitors, and yes, we do so. And to get the ripple current up, mainly the ESR value of such classical capacitors must be improved. And we do this by using hybrid polymer and purely polymer, conducting polymer electrolytes for this application. I worked on a new way to overcome that problem. I'm using special conducting polymers instead of liquid electrolytes of aluminium electrode capacitors to reduce the ESR and increase the ripple current capability. Recently, we have realized 1000 volt breakdown voltage in our lab, and the ESR values in average is a factor 10 smaller than those of classical electrolytes. Means we can increase the ripple current load by a factor of 3. You have asked for the power density outlook. The power density will be increased accordingly because the power density is independent of the voltage and the current level. We have also invented a flatback capacitor which could be actively cooled and will lead to an even further ripple current enhancement.
Okay, thank you. So in recent years, I have developed many photovoltaic inverters or researched new concepts, and the key point has always been selection of diesel link capacitors concerning their volume and thus power density. What are the current developments regarding increased capacitor voltage and power density?
Yeah, the power density, I explained it already before, is mainly impacted by the ripple current load, but of course you can also increase the voltage strength. And to increase the voltage strength, we did a lot of research in understanding the fundamental breakdown mechanisms of anodic oxide, and I've written several papers recently about the fundamental understanding of such breakdown voltage systems. And we learned that beside defects and the known tunneling current effect, also the surface state of the oxide layer plays an important reason. And we figured out that the oxidation state of the molecules lying on the surface of this anodic oxide could impact the breakdown voltage. It means if you have pieces species, organic materials or inorganic materials which can inject electrons into the oxide layer, we observed a lower breakdown voltage. And we have also discovered if you protect such an oxide layer by a polymer, or in our case we are using conducting polymers, we can decouple the ESR value from the breakdown phenomenon and observed very low ESR values with high breakdown voltages, which lead at the end to higher power densities.
And what do you think when we will see this kind of technology at the market?
This is a good question. Of course, we are having cooperations also with capacitor manufacturers, but I think it will take at least five to 10 years till we have this technology in the mass market. Right now, we are looking in the foundation of a startup company and to accelerate this process. But before, let's say, 2030, I don't see this product in the market.
So if you need a partner to test them, please provide me some of them.
Yes, definitely. No, this is for sure. I think we are right now, we have a small production line in our lab. So we produce usually 1 to 2 capacitors a week. And a lot of people are interested and want to have components for testing. And a lot of tests are ongoing. We also had some time ago an ECPE project together with the Fachhochschule Kiel and Vitesco, where we have tested the first prototypes of these capacitors. And we could show and demonstrate that the expected ripple counts were really high. And the first advantage of this device is that you can cool it, because it's a block of aluminium and you can put it on a cooler. And when you design it in the proper way, the thermal resistances are so small that you can cool the residual losses easily away, and even higher, as I mentioned it also before, even higher ripple current loads are possible.
Great. So let us have a look in another direction. So new research and development are moving towards printing capacitors. What advantages does this technology offer, and what challenges need to be addressed?
Our group has developed a patented printed capacitor technology by using special inks of polypropylene and the embedding of nanoparticles into it. And this technology could be an interesting pathway for the further increase of integration of electronics, because this printing process itself allows the increase of degree of freedom and the arrangement of the components. And it works like that we just use this ink as in a typical 3D printer, and we found a way to print patterns on conducting. So first you print a conductor on your PCB, then you print your dielectric on the PCB, use some special heat treatments, and then we can also create a so-called layer-by-layer printing process, which was also recently published in several papers, and we also have patented it. And with this, you can create completely new electronic designs where you use capacitors. And this is then a classical film capacitor with a quite high breakdown strength.
So that's really interesting, and I think so in the future, maybe an enabler for a higher power density for several applications. So another technology I learned in the past is hybrid polymer systems. And can hybrid polymer systems, for instance, be used in wind turbines or photovoltaic inverters in the future? Or is the voltage behavior still a significant hurdle?
The thing is, when you use a hybrid polymer system, you use still a liquid electrolyte and a conducting polymer. And the capacitors on the market are right now still quite small. So the biggest ones are produced, as I know, from EPCOS, TDK, and which are axial-based capacitor, 8 in diameter and maybe 40 millimeter long or so. And of course, in a wind turbine, you need much, much bigger capacitors. And therefore, our idea to use stacked systems could be an advantage here, because the stacking of our electrodes allows some easier impregnation of the single sheets, and you can even increase the diameter. So this could be principally a possibility. So we produced in our lab a 70 microfarad capacitor, which is of course still not big enough compared to a huge capacitor needed for wind and PV. But principally, this could be feasible, because the winding elements, impregnation of winding elements with this polymer solutions is not so trivial. And the hybrid electrolyte is used for improving leakage current and self-healing capabilities. But we have proven with our technique that we don't need the electrolyte for that. We have a special polymer, which special additives, which is also capable to do a similar job. So right now, these hybrid systems are mainly used in automotive applications, where you can put many of those capacitors in parallel and reach a very high ripple current load with these devices. And they are very, very good. But I can't see them right now, to be honest, in wind and PV application.
Mm-hmm. So maybe in the future. So, capacitors experience significant stress as part of the EMC filter in inverters. Current standards do not provide application-related testing. Are improvements expected here, and how can a reliability forecast be determined?
Well, I'm not a member of a relevant technical committee anymore. I was this in the past, but from my own experience, being a member in such a technical committee, it took quite a while till new standards are in place. This initiative should also come from the manufacturers. For the automotive world, ZVE has developed an own testing standard for big diesel link capacitors. This could be an idea also for this EMC filter capacitor topic, which you are mentioning here. And the reliability thing is in fact a big issue, because I know from personal experience that a lot of filter capacitors fail very often due to humidity impact. Film capacitors are exposed to humidity, start to deteriorate under those conditions, and when they're grid connected, AC grid connected, you have special effects. You have electrochemical corrosion, you could have chemical corrosion, you have partial discharge, and all that lead to failures. And here is definitely, in my point of view, a point where improvements could be developed.
And can you tell us a little bit which kind of improvements you expect, or have you some ideas in this direction?
One idea could be using a better sealing system. Means that shut off the impact humidity from the films, because they're very sensitive. And then we also work right now on a project where we looked onto the metallization, because right now in AC application usually zinc is used, and those zinc metallization have also issues. And so we are looking right now in towards new kind of metallizations, which could be an idea, but this is under research.
So, and let's say a global question, what further innovations can we expect in capacitors?
Well, I think all manufacturers in the world are working on improvements of their CV values of aluminium electric capacitor. It was always done in the past, reducing ESR, ESL values by innovative constructions, innovative electrolytes, better paper construction. It was always ongoing, so you will always see more compact, smaller capacitors in the field of electric capacitors. Further, I see a trend that AI is used for condition monitoring, and this will also allow to use capacitors with these tools in situations where you can get rid of safety margins of constructions, and this will also lead to higher power densities. Also, it was always the case that improvements in material properties, purity of used materials, process control, automation also will help further out as well. Then I personally work on nanocomposite capacitors, which could be also an interesting pathway. We are right now developing new implementation techniques for extrusion and 3D printing. And I want to mention, last but not least, a company in the US, Polycharge. They work on a new film capacitor technology, NanoLam, which is also promising in applying those capacitors at high temperatures and providing 10 times higher energy densities using super thin, so 750 nanometer thin polypropylene films. So this is my vision. I did not mention so much ceramic capacitors, because I'm not an expert in ceramic capacitors, but I believe also in this field you will see in the future new ceramics which provide better properties, better switching, and maybe also this problem of the DC bias problem could be solved one day. So I think a lot of things are ongoing in the field of capacitors, and they are not passives. They are, in fact, active research components.
Yeah, thanks, Thomas. So it's a nice experience for me to hear and to learn that there are still researches ongoing in this kind of capacitors, and we will see in the future, I think, a lot of improvements. So I enjoyed our conversation. Thank you.
Thank you very much as well.
To all the listeners, wherever you might be, thank you very much for listening. We hope you have enjoyed today's episode and gained some valuable insights. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast, which is available on all major podcast platforms. If you would like to share your feedback with us, please do so via an email to pcim@mesago.com. You can write to us also if there is a specific topic you would like to be covered in the future or if you have a particular guest on your mind. Until then, have a great time.
We hope you enjoyed this edition of the PCIM podcast. Together, we'll excel in power electronics.